And this red light means that we are recording. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the third episode of No 3D, the pop culture podcast that begs the question, huh? Joining me today, like the last couple times, are Andrew Johan Detouche and Andy Terminator Villani.
Ooh.
Yeah, I decided to bump you up a little bit.
That was nice.
You're
Thank
welcome
you for that.
You're part Drew, Austrian.
Drew got his middle name back.
He did. We decided to give it back. You've been gifted this moment.
I didn't win the last game, but I won my middle name back.
Drew, I have a feeling that you're not going to win any game.
I got nothing to say about that one.
It's got no game.
I will prove you wrong.
Unless it's a Magic the Gathering game. Just because I'm a little, what?
And of course, you're Kevin Michael
Rowe.
Oh,
yeah, I'm Kevin Michael Rowe, the pretentious
the
host with the most.
Before we got sidetracked. Great.
And here we are.
Fantastic.
First couple of announcements since we're starting.
announcements.
Yeah, a couple of announcements. A couple of pronouncements.
Pronouncements.
A couple of things. One, you can find us now on Stitcher Radio.
Yeah.
Which means you can listen to us through iPads and iPhones and Android products.
And we promise to keep you in Stitchers.
Oh.
Oh.
I think that's
the beginning. You're going to punch me out. I might have to go get some Stitchers.
We'll edit that part out later. So you can listen to us there. And we got the blog at no3d.wordpress.com. We're trying to put some stupid little articles up there.
Yeah.
So far, they've been very stupid. And they're going to get stupider as long as
more
you guys keep reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched a really bad movie for you guys called The Hills with a Z. I have to emphasize the Z.
Was that the MTV series?
No. That was The Hills with an S.
Oh, okay.
This is The Hills with a Z. Starred Paris Hilton and some dudes, and there's
not a big difference.
You know, I'd tell you more about it, or you could just read my review at no3d.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You like that?
Hey, I saw what you did there.
Hey, Kevin Michael Rowe.
Yeah.
Why are we here today?
Why are we here? Well, we're here to talk about the toughest of topics. We're going to throw it down, mano a mano, cage match style. Testosterone will be flowing. Today, we are here to pick the top classic animated Disney films of all time. All
right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Disney is a name that's synonymous with awesome, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, anti-Semitism back in the day. But we're not going to go there.
Yeah. I think Disney's an empire. It's not just movies. It's not just cartoons. It's not just merchandising, theme parks. It's the whole realm of Western culture and the free world. They even have one in China, I think, for a while. They probably didn't keep it because it was too free. But but Disney gets right down to the very heart of where we are, who we are as a society. This is getting really deep really quickly.
It is. No,
but,
keep going.
It throws you back to when you were a kid. You know, some of them are fun. Some of them, some of the Disney movies, as you go back and look at them, are hauntingly sad.
Unbelievably sad.
They're just throwing around destruction, like, you know, people are, you know, getting tossed left and right.
Walt Disney taught me how to cry. There, I said it.
Well, anyway, you were looking for some camaraderie.
Yeah, no, I was just waiting for someone to say something and be like, "Well, you fucking just start crying like
a
Bambi or something." Like,
yeah, it's actually Pinocchio.
Pinocchio?
Yeah, I realized. Never mind. That's not good. We're not even gonna go there.
We're not gonna go there.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Are you implying that was a wooden puppet, or that I'm not a real boy?
No.
Oh. Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, we're here. We're going to talk Disney. Great classic anime movies. I think this is going to be a tough one because we were all part, like, growing up during what they called the Disney Renaissance?
The second coming of
Renaissance.
Walt.
Renaissance.
Yeah.
The second coming of Walt.
When, like, you know, from, like, 1989 to, like, 1999, it was like, bam!
Yeah.
Like, every fucking 2 years, they put out a movie. I'm just happy I got to say fuck while referencing Disney for everyone.
That's
here.
Good. I had pondered how that would go. But we dove right in. So
exactly.
I'm happy about that.
So, I mean, like, it's just like, you know, you have fucking, like, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, blah, 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 a bunch of movies that we're probably going to name on this list.
Yeah.
And I imagine that our top five is going to be made up from, like, movies in that era, mostly.
Mostly. I think that's true. I mean, I expect that we, our individual list of five that we will build up. It's probably going to have some overlap, which I think is actually going to make the elimination round, where we break it down to the top three, a little bit actually more interesting.
I think
because
so.
There might be some teams here that allegiances and alliances will form. Most likely I'll be the odd man out, like usual.
Yeah. I don't know. David Hasselhoff.
I think I was the odd man out last time.
Yes, you were. So, Drew, because you were the odd man out last time, why don't you, unless Andy, do you have anything else to say about Disney movies?
We'll get to it.
Okay. All right. It's okay. Coming. So, Drew, I want you to go ahead. You're gonna start us off. It is big. We are 5 minutes and 50 seconds in. First one on your list, go.
Wow, the pressure's on with the time clock now.
Well, I mean, we're not timing it. And we've been flatlined.
Number one, I have to start off with the big one, Fantasia.
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 That is one I did not see coming
at
all.
No, this is good. But here I was thinking that we would all have the same. Go ahead.
Well, just,
no,
yeah,
that, why is that, Drew?
The music, you know, the...
There's music in Fantasia?
I thought you liked it for the dialogue.
Yeah, really. No, you got that big epic sound. It was like, you know, as a kid, you know, what kind of music were you listening to at whatever age you first saw Fantasia? You know, you were listening to whatever little pop thing was on, whatever, you know, whatever your mom put on the radio. But then you got Fantasia. You got VHS tape of Fantasia, and it was just this booming, epic, symphony, just dun, 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 dun. You know, and you have, like, a lot of soft stuff, like, with the dancing ballet hippos. You had the Sorcerer's Apprentice, Mickey.
Yeah, no, I will agree with that when Mickey goes apeshit.
Basically, Mickey on steroids.
Yeah, Mickey on magical steroids.
Which is, like,
right.
The third best kind of steroids.
I don't know. Have you had anabolic?
That's why I left it with some wiggle room at the top of the list.
All right, we were to next episode, best steroids. But no, I mean, I see that. Like, Fantasia was cool. I mean, I remember watching it in music class in, like, elementary school and everything. And for the most part, I'm like, well, fucking, this is boring. But it's still cool. Like, visually, I think it's good. And the music's good, too. But that just never, like, captivated me as much.
I think it's also, I mean, I think it's a sign of the times. It's a, it's kind of a pre, you know, it's early 1940s. Or like 19, I think it is, like, 1940. So what people were expecting... from an animated film really hadn't developed yet. It was early enough in the Disney sort of canon that you didn't have all of the expectations of what made a good Disney movie, right, or what made what would turn out to be a classic Disney movie. It actually ended up not being the direction they went in because of sort of limited interest, I think, at the time. But over years, you know, they did Fantasia 2000. They cleaned it back up.
Yeah.
It got another round. And it also sort of added a little intricacy and a little difference to the early movies, which I think makes it pretty cool.
Now, was Fantasia 2000, like, just a cleaned-up version of the original, or was it a new thing altogether?
I believe
that... Because I've never seen it.
What they did, like, they had some of, like, the classic segments. Like, I think they did Sorcerer's Apprentice and stuff, but, like, they cleaned it up some. Then they had some new stuff, too. But I've also never seen Fantasia 2000. But Andy, I'm sure you have.
Actually, I haven't. Well, I don't know. I just remember when it came out.
Right.
It sort of brought back the resurgence and it gave it a whole new life that I didn't have the first time. Actually,
I could be wrong, but like I remember like seeing like commercials for like, you know, seeing it in like IMAX and stuff, because it was like right around when IMAX was becoming like a big thing too.
And that's what it was.
Like the huge screens.
I think they
and
did
everything.
It. Yeah, so I'm look out for Fantasia 3D. I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah,
Fantasia 3000.
Mickey in your lap.
Whoa.
Because C3D. That was well placed.
That was well timed, little
trinket.
And there's Drew for the night. Okay, so should I go or do you?
Yeah,
go?
No, why don't you go?
Okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
All right.
I want you to go.
So on first one on my list.
Yeah.
It's a little movie called The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book.
A classic tale that I related to as a child, because I wanted to get the fuck away and go live in the woods. This was before the internet.
I think he lived in the jungle.
Well, you know, I grew up in Ohio, so there was woods.
Anything with trees with the jungle.
And it wasn't really like a lot of woods. It was like a square mile of woods.
Between the malls?
No, I didn't live in malls. I live in a very, very small town. Very small town. Big up Sheffield Lake, if you hear me. No, little up Sheffield Lake. But, you know, I mean, like, I really like the songs. Like, Baloo, the bear, was, like, the epitome of awesome. It's like, hey, here's this giant John Goodman-looking bear that is just going to tell me that I should hang out and have fun all day. What is better than that? Now, the idea of running around with a loincloth and being chased by man-eating tigers were not so good. But I really enjoyed the thought of it'd be like, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to go hang out with my animal friends
well,
and
even,
chill.
Even in a fantasy world, mm-hmm. you still have some realistic things to worry about, like, you know, flesh-eating tigers. I mean,
and hypnotizing snakes?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I'm never going to India. But then you had like, but then I would have had like a panther to protect me, Bajira, and yeah. I'd been like, "Yo, yeah. little cub, what you doing, dude? Stay away from that vulture thing."
King Louis shows up, oh, you know, starts monkey. Drumming on his tummy a little bit. That's all right.
That'd be nice. I can drum on my tummy now.
Yep, that happened.
There
it was.
Yeah, I kept my shirt on. So,
Thank goodness.
The Jungle Book, I liked. I think the songs were good. I think that was like came out in like 60 something. So I believe it's like right when Disney was like, yeah, it was like one of their iffy movies.
67.
67?
Yeah, 1967.
I think there was a live action one that came out prior, I believe.
I don't know.
Nearly as good.
Yeah, it was probably the best in that 10-year period where they weren't really knocking them out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, they had like what Sword in the Stone and stuff around
that sort
time.
Of stuff.
Again, people, I'm going to post a picture to our official Facebook page, you know, facebook.com/no3dpodcast. Andy has the most impeccable notes of all time.
Dude, they're nice.
Like, they are is that college ruled?
It's the same college ruled. No, I'm filling it up. Oh, I'm filling it up with podcast wonderment.
Look at you. I mean, you can tell, like, how prepared we normally are for these things, because Andy has, like, there's, like, no blank space. I have this half-assed, like, notebook with some written stuff. And Drew just literally borrowed, like, a piece of paper and a pen.
My paper and Kevin's pen. Yeah. So
fuck you, Drew.
Equally prepared.
Yeah. That's how I roll!
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I went with the Jungle Book.
That's good. Nice job.
Andy Vellani, what's your pick?
My first pick for... So, well, my list is kind of a hybrid between favorite Disney movies and best Disney movies. Because I felt... I looked at my list of sort of favorites, and I felt like they all came from 4 years, and mm-hmm. I was selling the catalog short. So I did a little digging, and I tried to balance out my list. But one movie that I had no trouble picking for my top five was 101 Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians, that's a good one.
You know, I think it's got that classic idea. Of you got like actually it's a pretty strong story. It's a good story. You've got like the good versus evil thing that Disney likes to do. Like in the way that they drew Cruella De Vil, where like every time she breathes and with the smoke, it's just like this air of green gunk that surrounds her, and you get the whole idea of her personality and everything straight out. The way that they got the animation for the dogs and all the different kinds of dogs and the movements and everything, they did like a really good job capturing the animation. I was watching it, getting ready for this, and like, you know, when they do that scene through London where all the different dogs do like the
animation. That's fantastic. Fun fact, there's a little cameo from Lady and the Tramp in that scene.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like they're off like in the background, and like it's a little black, but if you look closely.
Traipsing about.
Yeah, they're like, oh.
Maybe in the remaster, it would be a little more obvious.
It was like 3D.
But like, you know, we're watching that at home, and all of a sudden, like, Hops, who's my black lab, the most adorable black lab in the history of black labdom. No, he's way up there.
Okay, he's up there. He's in my top two favorite black labs. My dog, Layla.
Also in your top two.
She's number one.
How about that? Well, I guess that's sort of fun. You know, Hops like jumps off the couch and he's like 4 inches from the TV, and cocking his head from side to side. And it's like, if my dog in 2014 can take this movie from the early 60s and listen to and hear what the information has to say, then they did a good job. The way that they move, the way that they sound, it must have been believable because my dog's pretty goddamn smart.
Drew, do you have anything to add about 101 Dalmatians?
You know, to be honest, I haven't seen that movie since I was probably about 7. I'm trying to remember back to it, and I don't remember the Lady and the Tramp cameo.
Well, I mean, that's something like I didn't discover till the other day when I was Wikipedia and Disney.
I don't really catch a lot of that stuff, though.
I mean, I remember seeing Lady and the Tramp because they re-released it back when we were kids.
Yeah.
And I remember going to see it, like, you know, my dad.
I actually saw 101 Dalmatians in theater.
That's what I meant, 101 Dalmatians.
On the re-release, which is what obviously you were trying to say.
Yeah, that is what I was trying to say. Disney had a dog thing for a couple of years.
The other thing that I really like about it before we move on is that it actually only has, like, two songs. But they're so entwined into the plot.
The Cruella DeVille song.
Yeah, it's got
song.
Cruella DeVille at the beginning, and it's got the real menacing sort of undertones. And then at the end, it's like you get the resolution with the Dalmatian plantation. And, like, he's a songwriter, you know, and that's the two songs that he writes that are hits. And I like the fact that the dogs call their humans pets.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a pretty cute little add-on.
You know what's one thing I did not like? The live-action remake of 101 Dalmatians. It had Jeff Bridges.
And Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie was in that?
Yeah, he played You'll Knock Your Blick and Block Off.
Was that when he was, like, super British, before he was, like, a doctor?
Yes, sir.
That was that. And what's that chick's
name? Glenn Close.
Glenn Close? Yeah, she was, like, crazy.
She was, like, Cruella crazy.
Cruella DeVille.
You know, and then, like, her name, like, is the car, and then, like, she's a bad person, and she's a female bad person, so it's Cruella. That's creative. That's witty. And I like it.
That's 60s.
I like
Disney.
It a lot. I like it top five that much.
Whoa!
Just saying.
Drew! What's number two for you?
Number two, I have to go with... obviously a classic, one that taught us drop acid, not bombs,
Alice in Wonderland, the choice of a stoned out generation.
I listened to a lot of White Rabbit as a kid, too. But
one pill makes you something...
larger.
Yeah, and the other pill...
Does the opposite.
The other pill built that city on rock and roll, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I believe that's how it went.
All right, Drew, so why Alice in Wonderland?
I just remember a lot of the imagery of the kid. It just really stood out to me. You know, you have the Cheshire Cat,
You've got Alice.
Yeah, you know, drink me, and holy shit, she just got really big. Oh, take this. Now she's really small. You have,
Is that how that works? That's what that song's about.
I get Jefferson Airplane now.
Wow.
No, I mean, I can see. I've never really been a fan of Alice in Wonderland.
Around the time that I saw this, too, there was the Tom Petty music video around VH1.
Don't come around here no more.
So I had a lot to, like, associate that movie with.
No, I
saw that music video, then I, you know.
I believe that. So much, yeah, no, I get that, yeah. I mean, like, a lot of these choices that we're always going to make, like, more so, like, it's all more emotional thoughts than, like, rational thoughts going into it. So I can see Alice in Wonderland. I can tell you that I spent a Christmas season working at Hot Topic.
Oh, no. I really like where this is going.
No, right, like, it wasn't a bad job. I mean, I got paid minimum wage, and I got paid to fold t-shirts and listen to Iron Maiden all day.
That sounds like a bad job.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. But they're really, really
we're so different, Drew. It's unbelievable.
Like, you know, like, all that, like, crazy, like, Cheshire Cat shit sold, Nightmare Before Christmas stuff sold, but I just remember that. For some reason, there was a lot of, like, Alice in Wonderland stuff being sold.
The mall goss. This must have been, what, like, 99?
No, this was 10 years ago. This was in 2004.
Oh, okay.
Was that around when the live-action Johnny Depp movie? That was
that was pretty recent.
No, it was before. It was before, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't mind the live-action Johnny Depp one. Like,
I didn't see it yet.
It was okay. It was fucking weird.
I don't really like Johnny Depp.
Tim Burton movie.
As long as you're willing to accept that Johnny Depp's going to do the same thing he always does
in every Tim Burton movie that he's in,
then, you know, it goes well from there.
I mean, Alice in Wonderland, like, it's good.
It's
good. I mean, that's just the feeling that I always get from it. How about you, Andy?
How do I feel about it?
How do you feel about
it? I'll let you know when we start voting.
Oh, when we start voting? Oh, I'm sorry, Drew. All right, so now is it my turn now?
Oh, it sure is.
All right, so I'm going with
Little Mermaid.
Ooh, The Little Mermaid.
I believe The Little Mermaid is one of the greatest movies ever made. I believe it was the one that kickstarted the Disney Renaissance. And I remember in third or fourth grade, like, sitting there talking with like my best friend at the time. It was like right before Christmas break or something. And they're like, okay, class, we're going to watch The Little Mermaid. We're sitting there like, yeah, like we're going to watch the movie about mermaid. It's so lame, bro. He's like, yeah, man. And then we were the ones like up front the whole time going like, oh, like this Little Mermaid has fought such adversity to claim her love.
Yeah, and you know, you think you get everything you want, and then you don't.
Songs are fantastic. There you see her sitting there across the way. Look, if you're out there, I am looking for representation for my recording.
Isn't
career.
It neat?
Yeah, I say that all the time. Like
my collection complete.
To my coworkers at work, be like, hey, what are you doing? Walking around those, what do you call them? Oh yeah, feet. Up where they run, and some other stuff. The pelican called a fork a dingle hopper, which I remember seeing that, and then as a child, I used to call a penis a dingle hopper, because I thought it was a funny word. Well, and then when he's like, oh, you use this to do your hair, I'm like, that's not accurate. Like, you know what I'm saying. No, no, sir. But like, all songs are great. Ursula scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I think she's one of those villains that, because it's like not a real thing, they can make it as scary as like your imagination is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you have like people villains, they're only as scary as people can be. But like when you start doing like, you know,
but
like
you have sea witches,
yeah, octopus sea wish
based off famous drag queens,
diabolical
named Divine.
The first Hairspray movie, by the way. That's something
that was her last movie.
That'll keep you up.
I love that movie.
John Waters.
John Waters. I love John Waters films.
Scary dude.
But, yeah, he's very scary.
Like the weird kind of... Not like the... He's like Tim Burton if Tim... Anyway. Yeah. I mean, you know. So.
But another fun fact about The Little Mermaid, Ariel, her appearance was based off a young Alyssa Milano. So I did not feel awkward during... Never mind. Okay, Andy. So, Drew, do you have anything to say about The Little Mermaid?
I don't like that at all.
I'm going to drink this.
Yeah, go for it.
For those playing along at home, all right.
and your two friends who actually interfaced with us about the podcast are now happy.
Nick Benson, that's a shout out to you. Another big up to our fan, Jeremy, who always seems to engage us on Facebook.
Sharing the love. Yeah.
And, who else talked to us about the podcast? Someone else. Greg at Good Grief Comics liked it.
Great.
Greg.
All of our homies who have actually bought into this nonsense, we're grateful to you. Don't leave us. We need you a lot.
Yeah, we really do. We didn't get as many listens as the last one as we did on the first one. I have a feeling that we have lost our mojo.
Don't call it a comeback, but I feel like
been here for years.
We're gonna blow the roof off of this bad boy.
All right, so Andy.
Yes, sir.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
I will do it. I'm just gonna tell you that my next choice is Beauty and the Beast.
That is a fantastic choice.
Yeah, I'm crossing that off my list right now.
No.
Leave it on your list.
No,
crossing it off. I'm just we doubled.
We tripled.
Wow.
The first triple
in no 3D podcast history. This is awkward.
So
like it would be.
Hatter.
So Andy, why don't you go ahead and start on your?
I'll be happy to.
Yeah.
First of all, it was the first and forever only animated film to ever win Best Picture.
It didn't win Best Picture.
No.
It was the first animated film to be nominated for Best Picture.
And the only, because now they gave them their own category.
Now they have their own category.
So it can never happen again.
Because some movies can be nominated for both, but it was the first one to be nominated.
And before they went with all that bullshit of like 12 nominations if they feel like it. Now I could probably get nominated for Best Picture. But anyway, you know, I think it's one of the classics in that resurgence era, you know, that window in the early 90s that we all grew up with. I think it gets you like a really nice mix of like classic Disney stuff where you have like, you know, like the witchcraft or the you know, the fairy type stuff, and then you get like some of the newer ideas. They were trying to keep it up, you know. It's got a ridiculous soundtrack with Be Our Guest and the eponymous of Beauty and the Beast.
You know a movie is good when The Simpsons do a parody song from it.
That's right. you know, and the people that were doing the voice, like you've got Jerry Orbach doing Lumiere and everything. So it really gets, it doesn't really have anything wrong with it. It kind of gets everything right. It's in that sweet spot where you buy into the story. It's not like, I mean, it's like far-fetched, but not like too far-fetched. So it's just enough fantasy, balances out. You know, it's got Gaston, who's like the big, you know, studly. You know.
No one's neck is as thick as Gaston's.
I true really story. Felt like there was a rhyme that they missed. you know, but he likes to eat eggs. I like a guy who eats eggs and drinks beer and turns, you know, little pudgy dudes on their heads in barrels of water. So
if anything, I would be that little pudgy dude to somebody's Gaston.
Yeah.
No one here is Gaston.
And it was actually the other thing that's pretty cool about it is it was like the first foray from Disney Animation into Broadway. So it was the first show that they crossed over and found a whole new way to sort of reinvent it. It was on Broadway for like, you know, 14 years or whatever, for like forever, for a long time. And, you know, it kind of kept the whole movie alive and gave it more life than it would have had just by itself. So, Beauty and the Beast.
Drew, yeah. your feelings on Beauty and the Beast? I can say, we can safely say that Beauty and the Beast was on all of our lists.
Yeah.
We said that earlier.
I mean, he pretty much summed it up. I mean, it's a classic story of, you know, almost like, you know, Kiss the Frog turns into a prince, but...
But in reverse.
This frog happens to be a giant beast who turns into a normal prince. But you have everything. You know, you got, you know, your sweet, you know, village, bright colors. You go into this dark, gloomy, haunted castle type of look, you know, where the candlesticks are talking to you. And
Lumiere is the smoothest pimp in Disney animated history.
Yeah, he... outside of Chip.
Outside of Chip. Well, I'm saying, like, Chip was just, like,
he's not even as smooth as Pip in that movie.
Like Chip...
That cup gets around.
Come on, Chip was, like, a little kid.
Yeah, that's right.
He was just like... But here's the weird thing. Like, Angela Lansbury did the voice of Mrs. Potts. Like, she was way too old to be having babies. Like,
yeah. Chip, well, you know.
Like, she was, like...
Maybe it was one of those, like... One of those, like, technology, you know. There's the early 90s. Figured out better ways, but...
And again, like, here's, like, another weird thing about that movie.
Chip is a surrogate cup.
Like... Wow. Like, how long...
I wonder if he's got a birth defect.
How long was the,
Sorry about that.
I'm tired of your chip bashing, all right? Can we move on?
Let's do it.
Can you talk? Okay, I'm done. Please. Okay, no, we were going one more point. Like, everything in that castle was alive. Like, everything. Like, plates, how many servants did this beast have? And would you think that, like, someone would notice that their prince or their ruler was, like, just gone.
Well, no, they knew what was going on. They were all in on it. They wanted to turn back to humans.
No. I'm talking about like the people in the village and stuff.
I was thinking that, like, too. And it's like 2 miles away.
Exactly. It's this huge castle.
The beast just came in, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but still, like, what happened to the dude and, like, everyone else?
He could have been eaten.
Like, and when people show up and they're like, hey, this fucking talking candlestick sounds a lot like that rapey Mater D who's just, like, running around. And, like, Cogsworth, more like Coxworth, am I right?
He was kind of a wiener, yeah. That's what I'm there.
Beauty and the Beast, fantastic movie. I saw it in the 3D re-release, even though I hate 3D, which is why we call it no 3D.
That's why, huh? Because we hate 3D?
That's one of the reasons. I mean,
yeah, there's a couple of reasons.
We'll come up with some more later.
One more thing on Beauty and the
there's
Beast.
There's a list.
That I like about it, that Disney kind of throws you the villain swerve. Because and for the whole first part of the movie, when the character's developing, you think the Beast is going to be the bad guy. And then he sort of turns into a sympathetic, emotional type character, and Gaston's just a bad man.
He is,
you
know.
So like you kind of get swerved on that one, and you don't realize that when the great conflict comes in, that you're going to be on the side of this monster, you know. And Gaston is, you know, he's the big burly, typical hero looking type guy.
In
so that's
a
pretty interesting.
Provincial life, like Belle was living in Beauty and the Beast, Gaston would have been like a catch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone.
He knows.
He, of course he knows it. He eats 4 dozen eggs.
Legs.
He eats legs, eggs. Megs. Hi, Meg. He pulls a barge.
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff. And he's just like, he's the best. I was pro-Gaston on me and be like, yeah, she should date him. And then the Beast is all like, look at me, I'm just eating like a beast. That's another thing that kind of bothered me thinking about. Like, you see the scene where he's just, like, shoving food in his mouth with his claws.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Just because you got turned into a beast doesn't mean you don't know how to use a fucking knife and fork.
Dial it back one notch. One notch, dial it back. Just cool out, guy. You got company.
Right,
when was the last time you had company? Plus, Peebo Bryson, Celine Dion, throw it down on the commercial, you know, the version of Beauty and the Beast.
Tales of old as time. All right, we're going to have to move on, because this will become the Beauty and the Beast podcast. I'm stoked.
Whatever that means.
Oh, and there it is. First Full House reference.
I'm so happy that this happened.
Drew, what is the next one on your list?
Yeah. Did you have something you wanted?
No, I was just going to say, do we want to work all the way around? I mean, was that one? Did we all cover?
That was all Beauty and the Beast. Like, so.
Yeah, that was the full volley.
So, like, yeah, so we each only have like two more picks.
That's why I was going to go again.
Oh, you're going to go again?
Because that was only my second pick.
Oh.
We all looped around, right?
Oh, so, shit, that's right.
For the sake of organization.
I mean, if you want to do that, I mean. Because you think you might pick another one that we all picked, don't you?
I might. Okay. I might do that, but I'm not going to do it now.
Okay,
I'm going to pick for my next pick. I'm going to go with Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Not on my list.
Not on my list either.
That's good. That's good. So
even though Gus, my dude.
So what I like about Cinderella is it kind of is the quintessential classic Disney princess movie, where it wasn't the first one. Because you kind of had Snow White at the beginning, but it was probably the best developed of that time, where Disney's starting to come back into its own. You know, it's come out of the 40s and it's starting to move things forward a little bit. You root for Cinderella from the start of the film to the end. You want to be on her side, and the way that they animated her stepsisters, who kind of like, they're sort of oafish looking. You hate them because they're ugly, and you don't like yourself for it. But that's just what happens. Not only are they bitchy, but they're also just like drawn to be sort of caricatures. I mean, and rotten, you know.
Like, let's be honest, the stepsisters look like me in drag. So,
I was gonna say that is, but I want to be your friend. So.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I hate myself, so I'll say it. Like, that. Right. Like I would not make a pretty woman.
You're right. And then, you know, a dream's a wish your heart makes. You know, that's like the classic Disney song.
It is. I believe Uncle Jesse sang that on the steps of Cinderella's
when
castle.
When Michelle pulls the sword out of the stone and gets to be princess for a day.
It wasn't sword out of the stone, dude.
Well, it was the doohickey and the witch.
She rubbed the lamp and then the genie came out.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, dude. Yeah, dude.
All right. You can just be right now, and you'll find out you were wrong later. which is cool by me.
All right, no. So Cinderella. Okay, yeah.
But anyway, I mean, that's the thing.
I love the Full House throwdown.
As her castle ends up. I mean, that is Disney World in a nutshell. That's what you see at the Magic Kingdom when you think about everything Disney World, like the iconic experience, you know, that pilgrimage to Disney World that you get to do as a kid if you're lucky or your parents love you or something like that.
That I'll get to be doing in a couple weeks because I'm going on my honeymoon.
That's right. So I mean, it really has become synonymous with Disney. Cinderella, Cinderella's castle, that story of like the maid type girl, the forgotten child that no one cares about, making it all the way to the top and giving the big F you to the lousy. By the way, where's your dad? But
he's dead.
Well, yeah, so you know, stepmom gets hers in the end, sort of.
No, I mean it is the quintessential like rags to riches story, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted she had help with in the main of the fairy godmother, but
yeah, right.
Still.
And Gus where it's at.
He was Gus had some mental problems.
he clearly could just tell. And the way that they got like the cats and the dogs again, like it's weird how you get like sometimes Disney lets the dogs and cats be like, you know, anthropomorphic, you know,
and
sometimes they're like regular cats and dogs, and sometimes in the same movie you get like some that are one and some that are the other. It's weird how they have that like interplay where the cat's a cat, the dog's a dog, but the mice are people. You know? all at the same time. So
I never really thought about that.
It's a pretty well developed story. I think it's a good one.
Drew, your thoughts on Cinderella?
You know, I actually had never seen Cinderella in its entirety. I never wanted to be a princess, all right? I see that look.
Everyone wanted
to be a
princess.
I think he's a little bit defensive, don't you?
How old are you? You're 28. You're going to be 30 this year.
I'll be 30.
You are going to be 30. 20,
I was going to let you guess. I was
20 days after me, because your birthday is the 25th of August.
Yeah.
Now everyone's taking notes.
Are we going to have Disney Princess Day?
No, I'm just saying, like, there's no fucking reason you shouldn't have seen Cinderella once during your 30 years of existence on this planet.
I've seen a good chunk of it. But I haven't seen the entire thing. Like, the whole first half of the movie, I never...
Well, it's all just build up to the... They just tear her down and build her up. That's like, the nuts and the bolts of it.
Fuck you.
Bippity-boppity-booyah.
Oh, man! She said bippity-boppity-booyah.
Yeah, but she didn't.
God, Andy, you win the catchphrase round of this game.
It happens sometimes. Bippity-boppity-booyah.
That's going to be a t-shirt. Which you can find one of these days at no3d.wordpress.com. And maybe our web store...
We don't have one.
Which we don't have one yet. But if you want to buy something, you can just like send us money.
Would you like to add anything about Cinderella?
I think it's a good pick.
Thank you.
And you already said everything about Gus Gus.
I did.
He's my dude. So that's pretty much it.
So Drew, what's your fourth pick then? Since we've covered three of everyone.
I'm probably
going
to get some looks on this one. I've gotten used to it. A little bit of a controversial on this list for a reason. Mary Poppins, not entirely animated, was one of the very first, if not the first movie, to include live action and animation at the
same
time.
That's true, but unfortunately, Drew, the topic is animated Disney movies.
It was Disney, and it was animated.
It was Disney, but, I mean, if you want to don't tell me you got Roger Rabbit on your list, too.
No, I don't.
That's right.
That's not Disney.
Because that would be a better pick.
It was Disney. It was Disney and Warner Brothers. So.
Aha! Damn it!
That's a different topic. I mean, now,
when
Mary Poppins
collide.
Was the first live-action Disney movie, if I'm not mistaken. And it did combine animation with live-action, and it is a fantastic film. No one's arguing the merits of Mary Poppins.
No.
It's not on topic, Drew. It's
damn!
Not on topic.
I tried!
But I'll let you go ahead and talk about Mary Poppins for the next minute. Go.
Well, I pretty much said it.
52 seconds. Got anything else?
Andy, do you have anything to say about Mary Poppins?
I love it, and gee, do I wish it qualified.
All right, so, but that was a nice one. Okay, so my turn, my pick. It's a story about a beggar boy in a magical place called Agrabah. A street rat, if you will. Going with Aladdin.
A riffraff?
Street rat.
Just a little snack of...
Aladdin.
I completely forgot about Aladdin.
How do you forget about Aladdin?
Because you pick things like Mary Poppins. That's it.
Wow. No, I mean, Aladdin, it's fantastic. And to fill the Full House reference quota of the night, it's voiced by Scott Weinger, who played
Steve,
DJ's boyfriend on Full House, and in the episode where they went to Disney World, he was also dressed up as Aladdin. And
of course
episode,
he was. And she was
where
seeing
Michelle
him everywhere.
Robbed the lamp, which was, and the genie came out, and she became Princess of the
she
Day.
She was seeing him everywhere, and then all of a sudden he actually appeared at the end.
Yeah, he's just like, DJ! Okay, so Aladdin is just, it's a fantastic film. Everything about it is... epic, as Drew would say.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole song at the beginning, which a lot of people thought was actually kind of racist.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what you see with these Disney movies, is like, you're not sure if it's actually like honoring culture, or if it's actually like really, really offensive. But you have to give them credit. Over the years, they have pretty much toured the world. India and China and Native America, and all the times they went, for the African ones in particular are a little dicey.
Yeah, they're a little dicey.
You know, it was okay in like 1967, The Jungle Book. By the time they get back there with Tarzan, you're like, I don't know if that's going to fly, guys.
Look, I mean, the songs are fantastic. Like,
can show you the world.
Like, don't you dare close your eyes.
That was part of the Peebo Bryson back to back. You know, he was hitting it with Beauty and the Beast.
Prince Ali was fantastic. The Mr. Aladdin, sir. Like, all the songs were great. And of course, what really made the movie, the Robin Williams as the genie. It was just fantastic.
I think it may have made the movie. I think to a certain degree, it also overshadows the movie. And I'm not sure that it wouldn't be a better movie if they toned down the genie a little bit.
Well, they did in, like, the made-to-TV sequels and
stuff. Yeah, but nobody saw those.
I did.
They made sequels?
Yeah, they also made a cartoon that was aired on the Disney Afternoon, where the genie was voiced by Dan Castellaneta.
That's right, because Robin Williams was in litigation with
Disney. He sued the shit out of him.
He was not a happy man. So they got Homer Simpson to do it. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, the main reason that Robin Williams, like, took the gig was because, like, there's some, like, weird stipulations. Like, he didn't want to be... you didn't want the genie character to be like the full focus of the movie, or like merchandising could take up like so much
25% of the poster or something.
And Disney, like, it was all in the contract. Disney's like, yeah. And then they said,
exactly
fuck
what
you, Patch Adams. So we are just gonna put you everywhere.
You might say they hooked him.
Got him. And then he sued the shit out of him, and that's why he didn't appear in the sequel.
Yeah,
and then for
why he didn't appear in the sequel.
And then he was in the third one, though, Aladdin and the King of Thieves.
Because they sorted it out.
They gave him a Picasso, and they paid him a shit ton of money. And I don't think he was credited.
It wasn't even a painting. It was literally, they dug up someone from Picasso.
He was frozen next to Walt Disney.
It wasn't Pablo, but it was like his brother Jorge Picasso.
No, it was Richard. Richard Picasso in Reseda, California.
The cryogenic brain of Richard Picasso is now the... Well, that really got off topic.
He was a painter, though. A house painter. A minute doll house painter. That's what Richard Picasso... of Reseda, California.
The other thing about Aladdin is it's in that period where like a lot of the voice actors are actually famous. You know, they've got some other notoriety, like, you know, Gilbert Gottfried as Iago just makes you want to pull your hair out, or just punch him in the face repeatedly. And that's how you know you've been entertained.
It also has,
when you leave wanting to punch a character in the face repeatedly, you know you've been entertained.
It also has one of the most prolific like animal voice actors of all time. I believe it's Frank Welker. He did the voice of Abu.
Abu, yeah.
And he also did the voice of, like, Megatron, like, some Gargoyles characters. Like, he's the most badass voice actor of all time, almost. But yeah. Aladdin, it's on there.
Cool.
Anything else to add for Aladdin?
That's a good one.
I do have some fond memories of Aladdin, actually. And mostly it relates to the toys that came out with it.
No, I'm just trying to remember the toys. Like, that was me, like... This wasn't an accusatory glance. This was more like a
oh, all right. No, I thought I was going to get that look again. But there were like the lamps that came out where it was...
Oh, yeah.
It was basically like the Magic 8 Ball,
that
but it was...
never worked, though.
as much as you
wanted it to work, it should never work.
It was like the coolest thing.
The video game, too. There was Aladdin for like either Super Nintendo or Sega.
Super
Nintendo or Sega, and that game was like throwing apples. I spent a lot of time not beating that game, getting anywhere near that game.
Gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. Tell you all about it when I got the time. And for those of you playing along, alright. So Andy, this is the last choice.
Not for me. I'm only on number four. I got two left, and one of them's going to be trying to decide. I don't want one of you guys to take this from me, but so I want to say it first. But then I want to finish strong too. But I'm not gonna. I'm gonna say The Lion King now.
You're damn right, you are. That's
the
on
Lion
my
King
list.
King is...
I did not put it on my list.
Oh, so we've only got a twofer on this.
I was thinking ahead on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen who are listening, this is our first triple double, I guess, because Andy and I both chose The Lion King, which is a fantastic film.
It was almost on my list.
Here's the thing about The Lion King, is it really is about the last movie it was the last successful... Ooh, that even made ass. It was the last successful classic animation movie that came out before the inception of Pixar. They kept making some good ones after that, but Toy Story comes out like the next year after The Lion King.
Yeah.
So I consider The Lion King to really be the pinnacle of the classic animation. They more or less perfected the medium with The Lion King, with the imagery, the visual. Elton John and Tim Rice made every song a classic. I mean, there's more classic songs in that movie than, like, almost every other movie on our list combined.
Yeah, I think that is the reigning king.
All of the voice actors are notable, famous voice... All of them have done other things.
Can we do the list?
Yeah, please.
We got Matthew Broderick. Yeah. We've got Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
JTT.
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. James Earl Jones.
Nathan Lane. Ernie Sabella. Who was on Saved by the Bell.
Mr. Carosi.
Yes,
yeah,
he was.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg. Cheech Marin.
Yeah, Robert Guillaume plays Rafiki.
Yeah, there's just...
Everybody is huge.
I forget the lady who played...
What's his name? Rowan Atkinson is the bird.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And it was kind of cool, too. The lady who played Simba's mother, she was also the queen in
the Coming to America.
That's right.
Where the king was played by James Earl Jones, who played Mufasa. It is fantastic.
Like, yeah.
The Lion King, again, it's like one of those movies where I remember coming out, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to like that.
Oh, man.
And then I loved it.
It blows you away.
But like, when Mufasa dies, like, we all cry. No, we can't. Let's pour a little out for our dead lion homie here into our mouths.
And just like the way that they play the light versus dark, like, they introduce it, and then it happens, you know, and after Simba goes onto the, you know, to the oasis, and he comes back, and Scar has just screwed the pooch on everything. But like Hakuna Matata is a song that all the songs get it's stuck in your head for phrase. Months. You know, Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Circle of Life, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? The whole thing just, I don't know. It's, to me, it is the pinnacle of Disney classic animation. I don't think they ever got it better, and literally millions and millions of people saw this movie when it came out. It's appeared, you know, multiple times since. They put like grass in it and got like 2 million people to go see it again. Literally all they did was add some grass.
Special edition.
I went to go see it in the theater when they did the 3D re-release like 2 years ago.
And he hates 3D.
There's some reeds blowing around, yeah. And that's really the only
thing. And we all know how much I hate 3D.
It's true. He's not a fan.
It's good. We named the podcast after
it. And the way that you get like that, you know, be prepared, which is I didn't even say that one.
My favorite one.
And then you get, you won't get a sniff without me, right? And fun fact, that's actually not Jeremy Irons. He does every line of Scar in the whole movie but that one, because he had like blown out his voice and he didn't want to injure his vocal cords, so it's some tomfoolery.
I don't like that movie anymore.
But though, they matched up his voice with the mouth very believably. So, you know, it hardly made a difference.
It's fantastic. It's another movie that
I see his
also
point, too. That kind of hurt my throat.
Had a very tough Sega Genesis / Super Nintendo game.
I could never get out of like the second level.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was good after that. I would never know.
And what a lot of people like to think about The Lion King is that it was the first Disney movie that was not based off an existing story. Because, you know, you had like Cinderella, Snow White, Alice in Wonderland, all these stuff were based off of existing stories.
Right.
But again, that is also not true. In my opinion, like, certain similarities. Like, one, you can tell it's, like, you know, pretty much the basis for it is Hamlet by Shakespeare. There's, like, some parts to it, you know, father, son, blah, blah, blah. But there was a 1960s anime from Japan called Kimba, the White Lion, which I'm sure you read about in your Wikipedia and research.
And there's a striking resemblance to the name Simba.
So there's that. There are scenes of like one of the main lion characters from Kimba, like on a rock that looks like Pride Rock from The Lion King, along with like Mufasa. There's early test footage of The Lion King shows a white lion cub playing that looks a lot like Kimba. Like, I'm not saying that like Disney was just like, hey, we're gonna fucking rip off this movie.
But that's exactly what they did.
It's pretty much kind of what they did. Even Matthew Broderick, when he was recording it, he's just like, yeah, I was telling people I was voicing Kimba.
And then they closed Disney Japan because they didn't want anyone to talk about it. Like, oh, by the way, you want to question us? We're taking your theme park back.
Yeah, but now you have to go to Euro Disney.
Asante sana, squish banana.
Oh, I hate squish banana.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It means you are a baboon, and I am not.
Drew, do you have anything to add about the Lion King?
It's pretty much all been said. You start off with that really bright, chipper, you know, I just can't wait to be king.
That was actually very good.
It was.
Thank you.
Did you know?
I've been practicing that.
Did you know that the singing voice for JT
was? It was not him.
It's Little Michael from the Michael Jackson
he
American
was
Family.
Also in a movie, really? If I'm not mistaken, called Summer Switch with Ryder Strong, where they both played kids with the same names, and then they went to different camps.
That must have made some.
I don't know that one.
That must have. Okay.
There's going to be someone on the internet who's like, fuck yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but I bet you they're not listening to this podcast yet.
Yet.
Not yet.
But they will if they just go to no3d.wordpress.com and click the link. So, The Lion King, that I had that too, so I have no more picks.
That completes your list, right?
My list is done,
Drew's
so now
got
I'm just here.
Pick.
I'm just here to comment and pick apart, Drew.
I've got another pick too.
Let me at it.
I do have one more, and it was one of my favorites as a kid. And for good reason. The Sword and the Stone.
That almost made my list. It really did. If it did make
so that's where I was with The Lion King.
Yeah. Sword and Stone was fantastic. So why did you pick The Sword and the Stone?
Why wouldn't I? All right, you had
okay,
everything.
Fair enough. All right, so.
No, but you had everything, though. First off, you know, it's that dark animation that I like. I'm a fan of that. But castle, swords, knights, magic.
Magic is cool.
All this stuff is what made me into the nerd that I am today.
You are a very big nerd.
True story.
For those of you who can't see at home, Drew is currently flexing his Ghostbusters arm tattoo along with his Batman chest tattoo.
And it's a little awkward for
us. And only one of those things is not true. Oh, no, okay, now it's completely true.
That was really bad.
Now, there's just, oh, God.
I only wish I had looked away in time.
There's someone in the background singing the theme song to Baywatch, so we all have...
Don't do it. Nope. Just teasing.
I'll be ready! Boners left and right.
I'm not participating in that.
Too late, you already got
one.
You gotta
throw the teaser. Sometimes you just gotta throw the teaser.
Some people stand in the darkness, Andy.
Afraid to step into light.
Alright, so Swords and Stone. Back to that. Which could be like darkness and light. We can analyze that.
House of Stone and Light.
But I mean, like, I'm a giant nerd as well.
I must go there to find my soul, yeah. You guys like that song, right? You know what I'm talking about? Who's with me?
Just keep going.
Who's with me on that? Go ahead. You talk about your movie.
But there were a lot of scenes that I really remembered as a kid, like the wizards dueling. Even like when they got turned into a fish.
You know what part was fucked up about that? I'm sorry. It just crossed my mind. The squirrel part where like... All right, obviously we can't take this seriously.
Go ahead.
But yeah, the squirrel part I was going to mention, so whatever you got to say.
The squirrel part where they're like, oh, hey, I'm a chick squirrel, we're just going to hang out and, like, you know, do, like, little squirrel smooches. Then he becomes, like, a boy again, and then she's like, oh, you fucking played me.
Yeah,
they did.
Oh, shoot.
They did. Whoa. And we just became Rosie Perez there. So Drew, go on with your sword and the stone.
Actually, you pretty much just said what I was going to say about the squirrel scene.
It was just that she was like, oh, I'm just a cute squirrel.
She was so into him, and yeah, really, I blame Merlin for not, you know, changing him back.
Yeah, that's pretty
Merlin was a real player there.
Or was he a real bitch face?
Bitch face.
Bitch face.
I vote bitch face. Yeah, yeah.
Schmeh. Merlin was kind of a bitch face.
Schmeh.
All right, not voted.
Your thoughts on the sword and the stone?
I have limited thoughts on sword and the stone. I think you guys have done an adequate job. I don't want to say it was a good job, but it was an adequate job of talking about, you know, the sword and the stone.
Yeah, there were swords and stones in that movie, so I like that. So sword and stone.
So let me hit you with my last pick, and then we can start tearing each other apart. It's my favorite part anyway.
Which, I realized at the beginning of this week, I didn't describe how the game was played, so I'm going to describe
it. We sort of got into it a little bit, but my last pick is actually going to be Dumbo. Or, as I like to call it, to be fair and not make fun of him, Jumbo Jr.
Jumbo Jr.
If they had just called the movie Jumbo Jr., they could have saved one spoiler from straight out of the gate. But here's why I like it. I saw your face, Kevin, and you're not keen on it, but I'll tell you why I like it.
I'm not a big Jumbo guy.
It's an early Disney movie. It does like all the things I expect a Disney movie to do, and it does them well. It tells like sort of a simple story. You introduce your conflict and you kind of, you know, Dumbo, dude's got some big ears. Oh, that's funny, right? Like,
but then
you realize, first of all, that little dude's pretty cute. All right. So those other elephants are obviously just jealous. And then, you know, you start to see, dude, he makes friends with a mouse. Hilarious. You know, the playoff between the elephant and the mouse and their buds because he's been thrown into the, you know, out of elephant land.
I think it's called a circus.
The circus. Andrew. Well, he was in the circus. He wasn't thrown out of the circus. He was just thrown out of the camaraderie that elephants have in a circus. You know, the pink elephants on parade scene.
That was
like
a good scene.
Like, that's like pre-trippy. Like, where you didn't...
Yeah, that was
I don't know. Like, they must have got like some futuristic contraband to come up with an idea like that in like 1940. You know, and it's like the song that she sings to him, you know, Baby Mine, it gets you feeling.
Was that the scene where
emotional?
She's like rocking him with the trunk?
It's hard. It's hard to think about just now. And then when they get drunk, like, who doesn't love a drunk elephant?
More
you know,
I do.
It's like, it's the other thing I like about it is it sort of plays on a lot of like lore where the stork delivers all of the, all the different like circus animals, and he comes by and you see him dropping his little baskets, and they're falling into all the different animal cages for the circus, you know.
Isn't that how they get them?
That's what I'm saying. Like it explains all the ways of the world to some young children in the 40s.
I'm not a smart man.
Agree.
Oh, come on, bro.
But
I got nothing. I'm not a smart man.
And the other thing, the thing about it is it's actually the last of the first bunch of Disney movies that came out like before the start of World War II. So in certain way, Dumbo's sort of the end of the innocence. You know
or
what I'm saying?
Is it sort of like the last one where they were like really racist against African Americans before they started making like anti-Nazi propaganda films?
No, they got back into the really racist. Okay. I couldn't call it the last. It's the last pre-World War II Disney animated movie with an elephant that
that was really racist.
That was not racist. That was racist towards African Americans.
Because like those crows, like
they were. Actually, I was reading that originally the lead crow's name was actually Jim in the script.
Oh no!
And they took that out.
That's good hindsight.
For what I can determine to be obvious reasons.
I can imagine Walt sitting there like smoking a cigar, going, "You might want to change that. The Jews will be pissed or something." Which we are pro everyone here.
Yeah, no, we're
3D.
We're equally. Listeners.
It's Disney that hates everyone.
We're equally, everything's equally fair game here. And love, more love.
Drew, do you have any thoughts on Dumbo? Besides that it's an accurate name for that movie, because it's dumb.
Nodding doesn't help. You're going to have to vocalize.
Still better than Operation Dumbo Drop. That's all I got.
All right, well, I
see. Well, that movie starred Ray Liotta and Danny Glover.
It did.
So it sounds like it should have been good.
It was not.
Curveball.
As a kid, like, I just didn't connect, like, with Dumbo at all. And, you know, I had some pretty prominent features, mainly my fat. And my mom also had a giant nose and rocked me to sleep with a drunk, but we don't talk about that much.
The whole drunken elephant thing always stood out to me. Like, I remembered it, but exactly. I couldn't identify with the movie. There was nothing that jumped out.
I mean, it's not like it's a bad movie.
Well, obviously neither one of you guys were raised by drunk clowns.
I've met your parents. Your dad's a clown.
I was raised by Mario. Yeah.
Single. You're not even Italian.
Yahoo!
Are you Italian?
He is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Roughly 50%.
Oh, you know that.
Italian. Hey, the other half's Polish. See what I did? I made a Polish joke, which I can do, because Yannick is half and... All right, good.
All right, so, now for those of you who are still listening, this is the part where we go ahead and we rip apart everyone else's choices. Now, this list is going... It's a lot shorter than the last list we had because we had, you know, the triple and then we had the double.
Right,
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12.
And we're going to whittle it down to 3.
I think it's a safe assumption to say Beauty and the Beast should be at the top of the good list.
Well, let's just see what happens, Drew.
So, Drew, you were the first one
to go.
What
if one of us decides to kill our young and...
and then
the anger of the group.
What if one of us decides to kill our young because we can't find any food in the Pride Lands and we just start murdering them?
Nah! Okay, I'm not gonna...
Alright, so Drew, you were the first one to start on this list, so I would like you to be the first one to...
Kill somebody.
Hit us with your best shot!
I'm gonna make an enemy right here, but I have to get rid of Dumbo.
That's good. Well, now I don't have my first pick.
I'll remember this.
I just made two enemies.
In very different ways.
So why Dumbo? Just because what we just discussed? There was
it was just it didn't hit me as a kid.
Well, yeah. I see that. All right, so I'm gonna make my first pick, which is Mary Poppins is gone, like right off the bat.
We already got rid of
it. No, it was still on.
No, give someone the enjoyment. I'm actually mad now too. Yeah.
I mean, mainly just because like
this is now a grudge match.
No one is denying that it was a fantastic film, but it was not within the parameters of the desired topic. So, yeah, Andy.
Way to follow the rules, Drew.
Yeah, Andy is a stickler for rules.
I was a bad guy wrestling fan growing up. I know how to break rules. That's what I do.
You are a villain. You are a villain, sir.
I'm a heel.
Which is weird, because Andy's last name is...
Like Mr. Grinch?
Bolani. You know what I mean?
By the way, Thurl Ravenscroft, who sings the Grinch song, that dude's in like all of these movies, either as a singer or a character or both, plays the alligator in Peter Pan. Which is a good movie, by the way. All right, let me pick my first elimination. Can't come from my list, so that makes it a little easier. And I had an overlap with two of the people. Okay. Let's see. I am going to eliminate the Sword in the Stone.
Really? Okay. No, I can see that.
All it right. kind of. It just. Yeah. You know, it was in like the dumpy period of Disney. It's sort of a lesser. I think it's like an A team and a B team. It might be like an all star of the B team. Maybe
it's like a cult favorite,
but it would get steamrolled by most of the other things.
It's
list.
A small niche.
So, all
right, Drewby.
That's right. It is my turn.
Yeah, it is you.
Yeah, we're going the other way.
You're Drewby.
speak you're for yourself, Drewby. Bro. He's Andy. I'm Big Papa. We all have our nom de plumes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to say the Little Mermaid.
Ooh. Wow.
You know? Okay. No, that's cool.
Wow. That's. That's a crime against humanity.
It is. I don't remember that. And Sebastian the Crab's going to fucking chop your nose off, bro.
Let's just say your pick is floundering.
All right, so now I'm going to do something a little controversial.
You're going to kill your young?
Yeah, I'm going to kill the Jungle Book.
Yeah, well, it's important to see the list.
There's no arguments
when
you're
going. When you start to analyze the list, yeah.
No, I mean, like...
Yeah, no, when you're being...
I love the movie, but no, it's... Get rid of it. Jungle Book done. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ooh.
So all those things that you said about the Jungle Book.
I still love it. I still think it's a great movie.
Which ones do you consider yourself a liar for having said? That's what I want to know. What's the one statement about the Jungle Book that you made before that you're like, that guy is full of shit right now?
Then I'm afraid of man-eating tigers.
You got lucky this time.
I'm not afraid of anything.
You're not afraid of nothing. A double negative really gives you a lot of leeway.
Damn right.
So it's my pick, huh?
Yep.
Well, Kevin's list is looking really... What's left of Kevin's list is looking pretty good for me. I like my list still. So that's a problem for Drew. I think Alice in Wonderland goes. And for some of the same reasons that I offer for Sword in the Stone, it's another one of those ones. It's probably on the B list. It's sort of in the dark period of Disney, in between the early classics and the second Renaissance. I think they did better with real people, and you can't often say that about anything that's been Disney animated first, including both some of the Broadway shows and some of the live action movies, but. Alice in Wonderland, I think, is a little bit more suited to live actors. So there you go.
No, you get no arguments from me. I agree with what you said. That's a small, you know, crowd thing.
Let's hear it, Drew.
My turn.
Let's hear it.
Gonna hate me, but I'm going with 101 Dalmatians. While it was very cool visually, it just didn't.
So what you're telling me, basically, is you would rather make coats out of 101 adorable little puppies.
I'm actually more of a zebra print guy, but...
They're the same thing. Dalmatians are the zebras of the canine world. Let's be honest here.
Okay, well, I see how that goes.
So it's my turn now, huh?
It is. What's left? Let's review.
So right now, of the five...
There's five left.
We have Fantasia, yep. Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, Aladdin, and the Lion King.
I have to tell you, one of these, and you get to pick next, I know, one of these seems like a foregone conclusion, and whatever's left is going to be very challenging. For the last pick, which falls, all the responsibility falls to me.
This is a tough one. Because there's, I mean, I will tell you the two that I'm thinking about.
Don't tell me.
Okay.
Don't tell me. I'll plug my ears. You can tell the listeners and Drew, but I'm gonna be.
La, 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 I'm not listening. No,
you're Drew. You have to listen.
One rhymes with shmer, 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 shmer. And the other one's shmer, 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 shmer.
Malkovich, Malkovich?
Oh God! It really is. Like, this is tough. This
Do
is,
it.
This is Cinderella.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just if we had a female listener, she's gone now.
No, that's bullshit, and you know it because they're both from Beauty and the Beast. But yeah, I mean,
You actually... Like,
I was thinking my choices were between Cinderella and Fantasia.
You actually made this easy for me, because Cinderella would have been a much more difficult decision for me. Man. I don't think you can eliminate Beauty and the Beast. I don't think you can eliminate The Lion King. And I don't think, given the competition, that you can eliminate Aladdin.
Right.
So by default, you can take that economic disaster of a movie, Fantasia, and kill it. What's interesting...
Drew, I fought for you on this one, because I was thinking about, like, this
entire time I still made the list.
And I still like Fantasia. Like, I was thinking about it now, like, there's stuff about it. I'm like, yeah, I do remember that. There's a part where, like, fucking Satan and everything, yeah. And, like...
A little something for everybody.
But the fact that you can pit Cinderella against Fantasia and pick Cinderella tells me more about you than I ever wanted to know.
So this will be the last time Andy will be joining us on No3D.
let's just say that nice Andy is dead. In his place, pretty much the same Andy, who's already not nice.
We have even more bearded Andy.
All right, so... I have to tell you, I'm pretty happy with how this turned out.
I'm very happy with how this turned out.
I agree with those.
We more or less hit consensus on Beauty and the Beast before we even got going.
Beauty and the Beast, like, so if we were doing, like, numerical order, that would be number one, hands down.
Yeah, number one and 1A and 1B and also 1C. Because
like one and then
And then down the line with a slight indent, and then The Lion King, which for reasons two of us picked The Lion King, so it stood to reason that unless Drew pulled some shenanigans, that was going to make it. And Aladdin's also a great movie.
Can I just say that I'm happy that three out of my five picks made it.
If you bask in the glory, in the glow of Robin Williams, then you are happy that Aladdin is on the list. No, it's all how you feel about the genie, I think, for Aladdin.
No, I mean, I think it was fantastic. Genie made the movie.
Of course he did. He's a genie.
Yeah,
I'm right.
Yeah, but no, I think... So, Drew, this is... You made it.
I made the list this time.
you made the show.
Only because we all agreed on one of your picks.
That's true.
Two of your picks, actually.
Yeah.
No, just one. Just Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
So Andy,
you know Fantasia was a tough one.
No.
You struggled with
that. I
did not
have a hard time with
that
one.
No. If I would have went Cinderella, he would have said... If I would have went Fantasia, he would have sacrificed himself.
Those were the two
that
were left. I think I would have.
He would have sacrificed himself.
I think I would have.
I mean, I chose to, like, again, like, Jungle Book was weak sauce. I thought about putting The Rescuers Down Under on there, but then I didn't.
It's actually interesting, the only second film that's in the official A-list Disney canon.
It sure is.
And it may be better than the original. It may be.
I honestly don't even remember the original.
I don't think anybody does.
Except for people who are alive. And Zsa Zsa Gabor.
And Bob Newhart.
Was that Bob Newhart?
Man, yeah.
I don't know shit.
So maybe he doesn't remember it either.
Yeah, he's like old. He'll just wake up and then he'll find out he's in The Rescuers Down Under. That's Rescuers.
What a great 80s TV reference.
All right, so to recap the list one more time, the top three Disney movies, classic animated Disney movies of all time, as chosen by us, the panel of pop culture experts that call ourselves Andy, Drew, and Kevin Michael Rowe, because I just like put my full name in all the time. Along with Andy Belotti and Andrew Johan Detouche, are Lion King, Aladdin, and Beauty and the Beast.
Everything from that Renaissance period.
Yeah, exactly. We
are children of the late 80s and early 90s.
So Disney before, sucked. Disney after, can suck it. Right?
It puts the epic in epoch.
Oh.
Or something.
Yeah, it puts the, lotion on its skin. So, I believe that's the end of this episode,
there
right?
There we go. That was it. Good. That's all we got.
So, yeah, we'll be back again. So, once again, like, thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And again, we are on Stitcher Radio. You can find us. You can check out our website at no3d.wordpress.com. We are on Twitter at no3dpod. We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/no3dpodcast. We have a certified telegraph line. It's ... Is there anything I'm missing?
That's good. You just called our certified telegraph line poop. Good for you.
Well, I mean, we are the last people in existence with a telegraph line. We'll even learn smoke signals, so... And if, hey, if you have an idea for a topic, you can email us at no3dpodcast@gmail.com.
And comment on our stuff everywhere he just described.
Yeah, like at the places.
Jump in.
So, yeah, thank you very much for joining us. This was No3D, the pop culture podcast. And why do we call it No3D?
Because fuck you.
Exactly. That's why. Good night, everybody.